This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is. It is. Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, he's known as the Shadow around VSiN these days. Got a lot to get to. Six college football games, that's for you, big guy, including Jackson Arnold. You're going to get your first sight of the Oklahoma quarterback taking on Temple. Right now, Oklahoma's laying wood. They're up to 43 at a couple of shops, 42.5 at others. TCU, Stanford, which is interesting because in case you didn't know, Stanford is in the ACC. So is Cal. So is SMU. Welcome to 2024 college football. Of course, Duke and Elon, you're going to get your first look at Malik Murphy. I believe he was backing up Ewers at Texas, Malik Murphy, now. And at Duke with Riley Leonard moving on to Notre Dame, they will play tomorrow, College Station, Texas A&M. So a lot to get to, including the games last night. A lot of exciting college football. We've got a lot to do on today's program, including Brandon Ayuk has re-upped with the 49ers, but not without some drama, as there were some trades with a couple of teams. We'll tell you exactly what happened as those last-minute trades broke down between the 49ers and others. Again, Dustin Sweetelson, hang out at the D. I'm Patrick Maher. We'd be remiss if we didn't start the show with tragic news out of the NHL and out of New Jersey. Johnny Gaudreau and his younger brother, Matthew, were both killed last night in a bike accident with a drunk driver. So horrific news. Of course, Johnny Gaudreau, Columbus Blue Jackets star forward. He was a legend in South Jersey, known as Johnny Hockey, went on to star at Boston College. His younger brother played in the minors, 29-year-old brother Matthew Gaudreau. And again, he was an instant star, Johnny Gaudreau, for the Flames, and then signed a couple of years ago a 7-year, $68 million deal with Columbus. So again, we'll move on from that. Tough to transition, but you had to mention it. Just a sad story. Life is short. Keep those that matter close to you. And that is a terrible story out of the NHL. Not a really easy way to transfer the conversation from that, but we'll do our best to do so. And we should start here. Let's dig right in with what happened last night in Boulder. A couple of things. One, so this number with North Dakota State and Colorado jumped up to 12 at a couple of shops. So the steam was going the wrong way. I mean, that was a gift to start the year. Anybody that was gun-shy to bet North Dakota State, you got to be checking yourself. I have no clue what you were thinking. Never in doubt. North Dakota State had a chance to win that football game. You had donks like Dustin. Oh, I'm afraid of Colorado or what they're going to offer. Okay, take it easy. And also the steam on the total, as Dustin knows, that kept on steaming down. And of course, close closer to 55, 31-26, my math, that's 57. So the number going the wrong way. The bettors starting off in a bad way with pushing around the number. But what you saw, and Dustin, I think you would agree, Shedeur Sanders is the truth. We saw it last year. He's going to be a top five pick in the forthcoming draft, whether it was a three-step drop with lasers to the perimeter or a five-step drop, you know, traffic in his face, a deep shot. 445 yards for the Colorado quarterback, Travis Hunter. You know, Travis Hunter has a lot of Deion Sanders in him, which is ironic, as I think he was only off the field for two plays in that game yesterday. So Travis Hunter went nuts in the game as well. But this wasn't easy, as North Dakota State hung in there. And there were a couple of things. One, Deion is going to get exposed as a coach. And as you and I were discussing on the phone yesterday, this morning, discussing a lot of things, if we're being completely honest, but we were talking about the Colorado game because professional till the end. But we were talking about Colorado. Look, I'll tell you this right now. And I thought there were cracks in the Deion armor with the way he handled the reporter and the way he's been super sensitive leading into the season. His team is not very well coached. And that's factual, whether it be the throw late from his son and the excuse being he wanted to get his team in the mix, which is whether, I don't know if that's coaching or if that's an audible by his son, Shedeur. It's just bad coaching at the top with Deion Sanders. And if we're being completely honest, they should have trucked North Dakota State. This is still a completely different level of athlete. And the only reason I'm betting North Dakota State, it's not, oh, they've been the Alabama or of the FCS. It's because they're just better coached. And that will catch up with Dion, because that schedule for Colorado, which we can pour through, is not going to get any easier, obviously, as they sneak by the Bison. 31-26. What'd you take away from it, big guy?
Okay, first, the defense is still horrific for Colorado. A lot of issues there, some good players in the back end. They still stink. The offensive line that's been patched together with transfers, just as bad as they were a year ago. I know it's week one. I know it was a tough opponent, but let's be real. Those guys were coming in from big programs. There was a five-star added to the offensive line. They still got pushed around by an FCS team. That's unacceptable if you're going to the Big 12. Let's see.
It's the Big 12.
The throw late is inexcusable, right? I think it's you pick up the first down. You pick up the first down. And you force North Dakota State to use their last timeout by just running the ball or kneeling. I don't understand what Dion was thinking. I think what he's saying after the game is excuses. He's covering up someone else's mistake. And I think that's part of being a good leader. We saw it about a month ago when Ollie Gordon got hit with a DUI in Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy then said crazy things in front of a microphone. I think so that you talked more about Mike Gundy and the crazy things he was saying than you talked about Ollie Gordon as DUI. I think last night Shador made a decision to make a statement to get the guy the ball, and Dion then on the back end protected him by trying to cover it up in the press conference.
Maybe he wanted to cover for the boosters, Shador. You know, a lot of that goes on in college football. The boosters bet on their team. The players and coaches know it. Try to pick up a tutty late and cover for the boosters. We'll get to a couple of covers that did or didn't go your way coming up here in a bit. On yesterday's slate, you see Dustin kind of ruminating over a few. Let's hear from Deion Sanders, who talked about throwing the football with under 2 minutes to play there, big guy.
Here it is.
I'll say that. I mean, you got to understand, you got to take what people give you. You can't take what you want. And it's not there. I mean, what is it? What did he throw for? 445 yards? You think we upset?
Right.
Who upset?
There you go.
See, they have a running game. Well, the passing game looked pretty darn good today. So let's be appreciative and thankful that we got one of the premier guys in college football spinning it. We're going to run the ball. We're going to do that. We're going to have a lot more balance. Today was just that type of day. You got to take what they give you.
But in that situation, yeah. 2 minutes left, you want to run the clock down. I mean,
you want first downs.
Right.
If you want to run the clock down, they got a five-man box. I mean, they got five down. Like, you got to look out there and say, okay, I got one-on-one right here. I haven't seen one-on-one the whole game. So I got to do what I got to do to move these chains. And that's what that is.
Okay, that is one of the most embarrassing clips we've played from a head coach on this program for a multitude of reasons. One would be, instead of admonishing the player for a critical error, he talked about how many yards he threw for in the game. Secondly, flexing how well the team played when you beat an FCS school by five when you were laying 11.5, 12. Dion, we shall see. If you're on the over Colorado as far as the win total, I believe it was 5.5. Good luck with that.
No. It's a bad football team. It's a bad, bad football team. And now, the problem with them is that they have two electric players. So they're going to matter every week, and it's going to drive people crazy because they've got two first-rounders, and you touched on Shador Sanders. The word that keeps coming to mind watching him is refined. He is a refined passer of the football. He maneuvers in this bad pocket brilliantly. I think he knows their system really well, and I don't know much about processing information, but I can watch him process the offense and what the defense is giving him, and he makes quick, decisive decisions. I really like a lot of elements of his game. And then Travis Hunter, it's absurd how good he is. 7 for 132 in the one touchdown catch in the front corner of the end zone, as good as you're going to see. So Dion is a donk. He's annoying, but this team's going to be in the news cycle every week because they have two special players.
We like getting into two-way players. Travis Hunter's fine. He's small. Whatever. He is small. He's going to be frail in the NFL. Shador Sanders is the truth.
He is the truth.
He has above-average arm strength. His anticipation is awesome. He can do it all. He can move outside the pocket. He can throw on the run. He can create out of nothing. He is a composed. He is. His dad did a good job with him. I don't think his dad's a very good coach, but his dad did a good job with him. Let's take a look at the Colorado schedule moving forward. It's going to be tough in Lincoln next week against Nebraska, at Colorado State. Baylor, UCF, tough. Okay, so Nebraska, Colorado State, Baylor. You want to give them one or two wins out of those three?
Nebraska, Colorado State, Baylor.
I don't know if they're beating Colorado State. They're not. I don't think they're going to Lincoln and beating Nebraska. They're 7-point dogs. And based
on, we'll give them a win against Baylor.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, we'll give them one. We'll give them one.
Okay, so two. They go to UCF. They're not beating UCF at UCF.
No, 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 no.
That's not happening. They go on by. They host Kansas State. They're not beating Kansas State.
No, no, no.
They go to Arizona. They ain't beating Arizona. Cincinnati is an easy win.
Yeah.
They go to Texas Tech. Likely not beating them.
Yeah.
They're hosting Utah. Zero chance.
Zero.
You're going to see such a contrast in coaching when Whittingham and Utah come to Boulder. It's going to be laughable.
Right now, looking at DraftKings, Utah's laying 9.5 at Colorado. It might be worth betting now and just waiting a couple months.
They're not going to Kansas and winning. Kansas 22, and they're not beating 17 Oklahoma State. So they're right around 3-4 wins.
Yeah, 3-4 wins.
Yeah, it's a step back.
They're not
step back from a 4-win campaign last year.
Anyone that has anything on the line of scrimmage on either side is going to bully this team. This team cannot run the football again, second year in a row. They cannot protect their quarterback again, second year in a row. And the defense is a sieve. North Dakota State was marching up and down the field. They just had a few issues along the way, but they were carving up this defense. Things were not fixed in this offseason despite going through the transfer portal and bringing in basically a whole new roster.
You nailed it. You could look, if you want to point to me and say you got to take on Norvell as well, we did. His team wasn't coached up in Dublin. Same with Dion. That was a poorly coached team and a sloppy team. Straight up and down. So do what you will with betting them the rest of the way. You know who's good? Utah. We'll discuss them next. Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, we've got Mike Somich coming up in just about 29 minutes. We'll do what we do on Fridays. We'll have some fun with Somich with some horse racing. Of course, Somich, as far as I'm concerned, and Bill and Brian did an amazing job hiring Somich. They went out, they scouted him, they found him, and they brought him in, and he is one of the sharpest minds when it comes to sports betting. So Somich, always look forward to talking to Somich. And it appears Matt Brown locked them down for the weekend, so things are good as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to welcome in our good friend, Anthony Herron, Big Ant, Big Ten network analyst, 670 The Score host in Chicago. Big Ant Herron on Twitter. We say hi to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Patrick, what's up, man? We're in the launch phase of another football season. There's a lot of excitement in a variety of places, and there's going to be some fan bases where those hopes get dashed in the not-too-distant future, but for right now, it's a good space to be where the majority of college football feels like they've got a shot.
And it's great, Anthony. It's great to hear your voice. I hope you and the family are doing well. You know what? Exciting times in Chicago. What's happening with the Bears? We've got some juice in the Big Ten. And I'm going to start maybe in a weird spot with the Big Ten, but Dustin and I were just discussing Indiana football. It feels like a coup to get Cignetti from JMU, and he brought over a bevy of players as well. What are you thinking about Indiana football this year?
I love the vibe that he brings. There's no doubt about that, because we're as much energy and positivity as Tom Allen brought to his time with the Hoosiers, there wasn't necessarily a lot of bravado or swag with. And that's not necessary for a coach, but it is different. Sort of the temperament and the tenor, kind of the tone that Kurt Cignetti is setting with the media and publicly and with his team in leading things here early on with Hoosier football. Now, we'll see what the results are on the field, but you know, he doesn't mind telling you. He said it to me multiple times. You know, Google him. You can look at his resume and take a sense for what he's accomplished in the past at previous stops as a head coach. There have been a variety of head coaches who have had success at previous institutions or at, you know, lower levels of the sport. Then you get to that Power Four, Power Five realm. You get to one of the major conferences, and competition is different. So is there going to be the same schematic advantage or personnel advantage or something like that that Kurt Cignetti might have enjoyed at previous stops? Who knows? You know, the results will sort of speak to that. But I'm very much enjoying sort of the tone that he's setting here early on.
Yeah, I saw that, Anthony. He said, just Google me. I win football games. Indiana could use some of that swag with the football program. We like to see that. Anthony Heron, Big Ten Network analyst. So, of course, you got FAU in East Lansing to take on Michigan State, and kind of a program that splintered at the seams last year in Michigan State. They bring in, it seems to, there's some juice there, Anthony, with Jonathan Smith coming in. He brings over his quarterback from Oregon State. The outlook on Michigan State football this year is what?
I'm actually more bullish on the Spartans than some other folks would kind of indicate. I think most people are thinking Michigan State will miss a bowl game this year in Jonathan Smith's first season. And, you know, if that ends up being the case, I think it'll be more than explainable why, because of their roster turnover, the newness that he brings to the table. And, you know, you lose some talented guys to the portal. But like you referenced, he brings Aiden Childs with him from Corvallis. And if it wasn't for DJ Uiagalelei just being more experienced and, frankly, having a good bit of cachet that came with the name recognition. And DJ has shown himself as a productive quarterback, but certainly not an elite quarterback. I've got really high hopes for what Aiden Childs brings to the table, not just because of the physical talents that are there, but this guy's 18 years old with a bunch of new, older, more experienced players in the locker room and got voted a team captain in East Lansing already. So that sort of demeanor that he has, where teammates rally around him, he's got a very personable attitude to him, but a very workmanlike approach to things day in and day out as well. So he's already garnered that degree of respect in the locker room, and I really think he's a budding star for Michigan State. And I've been sort of working throughout the offseason to temper the way that I talk about Aiden Childs, because I don't want to roll the hype train in and have everyone expect that there's going to be this easy road to start him for him, because he doesn't have a lot of receivers out there. They've got a deep running back room. Jonathan Smith and Brian Lindgren, they really value the run game. And so I think that's going to be a really assistive way for him, for Aiden Childs, to transition into Big Ten play. And one of the best hires in the conference wasn't only, you know, being able to nab Chip Kelly from his head coaching job at UCLA. That's a big deal. Getting Dan Lynn over to USC to run their defense is a big deal. But Jonathan Smith, coming from out in the left coast and being able to nab Joe Rossi from Minnesota, who'd had a lot of success with Gophers defenses over the years and running them, then I do think where this year maybe there'll be some stumbling blocks early for Michigan State, but by the end of this season and certainly in the not-too-distant future, there's going to be a program that Jonathan Smith builds that I think folks are really going to have to reckon with the Spartans.
Interesting. So their win total set at 5. Big Anthony Heron, Big Ant, is bullish on the Michigan State Spartans. Now, of course, Anthony Heron joining us, Big Ten, formerly the Pac-12, Big Ant Eats, the real ones know, RIP to the Pac-12 network. I want to ask about your team, Iowa. And now, you may not know this, but in Vegas, and a lot of sharp bettors are high on Iowa this year, kind of a sleepy team in the conference. Do you agree with your alma mater's assertion there?
I do. And you know, I just got a chance a few moments ago to talk to Tim Lester and Kirk Ferentz, Phil Parker, you know, so their coaching staff. And, you know, they're very bullish on this team as well. You know, the amount of experience that returns to Iowa City, there's not a team with a higher percentage of their starters back from last year than Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes. They were a 10-win squad last year. So you get all that back. And, it, you know, having one of the best defenses in America return largely intact, that's a great position to be in. That's obvious. But then the experience that returns on offense matters a lot as well. Even though the offense was, you know, it's hard to imagine the offense was going to get much worse than what Iowa's been the last couple of years. But especially up front on the offensive line, we know Kirk Ferentz's history in that regard with being able to coach up and nourish and develop O-line talent. And so a lot of that O-line that figured some things out in the run phase late in the season last year. So there's a lot of starts that come back for the Hawkeyes up front. And a guy like Logan Jones, their center, who a couple of years ago had just moved over from the D-line, and folks are trying to figure out whether or not, you know, could he follow in the footsteps of Tyler Linderbaum? And then he really struggled his first season. Now, year by year, you see the vision that's been in place. Now they're going to have one of the top centers in America, one of the most experienced offensive lines in the conference, one of the best tight ends in the country is healthy in Luke Lachey. So there's a lot to be excited about in Iowa City. And I'm really eager to see what Tim Lester's offense looks like, not only in calling their game tomorrow on the Big Ten Network, but what it looks like a month from now, what it looks like in November, as you get these West Coast principles in place, a lot of verbiage that's there that has to be spit out by the quarterback and by the players on offense, but that'll be aided by now the ability to have NFL-style helmet communication in college offenses. So he'll be able to communicate with his starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, up until 15 seconds remain on the play clock. But I do have high hopes for, you know, Iowa's offense. They're not going to be top 20 in the country or anything like that. But if they just jump a couple of dozen spots and you still keep that defense intact, this is a squad that can compete to make a Big Ten championship game.
That is a tremendous breakdown of Iowa football there from a former star, Anthony Heron. Now, we just did something in a full segment that's never been done, talking about the Big Ten with a Big Ten Network analyst. That is, I didn't bring up Ohio State, and I didn't bring up Michigan. So I think I'm owed a congratulations here, Anthony. No?
I mean, a round of applause, at least.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, if you want to talk about the teams who are going to meet for the Big Ten title, I'd be happy to do that, but it is. It's
no.
A supersized version of the Big Ten. So, you know, there's plenty of storylines to go around.
No, we needed to dip into some of those on those teams with some big-time roster change and what to look forward to for Michigan State, of course, Iowa, and others. Anthony, it's great to catch up with you. You can find Anthony Heron on Twitter, at Big Ant Heron. Listen to him on 670 The Score and, of course, Big Ten Network. Thank you, Anthony. Enjoy the football.
Appreciate you, Patrick.
Okay, appreciate you as well. Hope you're doing well. He lives there in downtown Chicago, right by, I believe, the Prudential Center. Oh, it kind of lives right across from the Bears Stadium, goes to the games. He's one of the great guys. We've been talking to him for like 10 years.
Summer of 2016, going into that football season. That's the first time we talked to him. So, yeah.
Great dude. You know what? When we come back, I want to continue to talk about the games going on tonight, including we have yet to discuss TCU-Stanford.
There's
a couple of interesting storylines that aren't being discussed in this TCU-Stanford matchup, so we're going to discuss that one. Also, Western Michigan-Wisconsin? The Broncos might have something to say, and it's not just about craft breweries, which you can find some good ones there on campus. We're back. Sharp Money. Mike Somich on a Friday here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a nice week. Of course, this weekend is jam-packed. You've got a bunch of college football. You got a great game on Sunday as well with USC and LSU. The big guy, if he gets back from L.A. in time, can go to the game because they're playing in Las Vegas. So that's good for you, Dustin Sweetelson. Mike Somich brought it up during the break, so I'll just go ahead and answer you. We're going to get into some baseball here in just a bit. I'll go ahead and answer you. Linkin Park is making a comeback. I don't know if y'all know this, but Oasis announced a comeback and sold out like 10 shows in 2 minutes.
Sure, they'll
at
show.
Wembley.
Sure.
Yeah, what's the number for them, those shows actually happening?
One of them will show.
I'm sure you guys have both seen it. There's a great documentary on Oasis. It's either Netflix or Prime, and those two hate each other more than two people have ever hated each other.
Could have been the greatest band of all time. They had the potential.
Liam and Noel, your boy. So then Somich was like, Dustin out of nowhere, left field. He said, you know what I've been listening to a lot lately? John Denver and Slipknot. Sweet playlist. So then Somich comes at me with
diversity.
Did you get into that mashup with Linkin Park and Jay-Z? And that feels like something I would like. For some reason, fellas, that wasn't my thing. Now, Linkin Park is making a comeback as well for you, Samo, if you do like that vibe.
I enjoyed those. I was never a big Linkin Park fan. I did like Jay-Z quite a bit back in the day. But the Linkin Park Jay-Z mashups, they were phenomenal, man. Those things were bangers.
Dustin, were you into it?
I saw Linkin Park at Ozfest 2001. They were awesome. That was like in my wheelhouse of high school Linkin Park. And then I love the Jay-Z album. Even better, though, Danger Mouse did the Gray album, which was combining the Beatles' White album and Jay-Z's Black album. And that, to me, is like one of the greatest of all time.
Okay. Well, you are a hip-hop aficionado. So
technically, it's classic rock, too, technically.
If one band could make a comeback, I'm putting you both on the spot, who would it be? I don't even have an answer.
Well, like, I bring people back from the dead, Nirvana.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe something that was actually
realistic.
Yeah.
I don't care enough about
you guys
music.
Think about that.
I don't know. I would have to care more about music to have someone in that list.
You know, as they say in broadcast, put a pin in it. And as they say in business, I was told this morning, we'll put a pin in it. North Carolina announced that quarterback Mac Johnson is out for the season. Hey, that's the good news there for Mac Brown, who just turned 74. He doesn't have a quarterback controversy anymore, and I'm not taking a shot at the kid, but it's going to be Harrell for the rest of the way for North Carolina, and I am bitter because I had the money line. No, I actually took the two with Minnesota. So we had a little bit of a pushy push, but a couple of missed field goals. Minnesota should have won that game. Did you touch that one, Samo?
Yeah, I had Minnesota money line. I played them back plus three in game, so I ended up breaking even on it. But man, it felt like Minnesota was the right side there. A couple of the short missed field goal was the painful one. The long one at the end of the game, you realize that's probably a 50-50 proposition, especially with college kickers, especially when that college kicker's already missed a short one. But man, like the turnover that they had, the fumble that they had inside their own red zone, which set up the field goal for North Carolina late, that was brutal. The fact that they couldn't get on the fumble from the North Carolina quarterback was rough. Felt like Minnesota was a better team. Didn't get the result.
Rough to be on the wrong side of that one, big guy.
Well, I was on the right side, so I feel great about it. Max Johnson, though, prayers to him. Ooh. That stinks. Career's done in college. Was not very good. And then watching that game, I don't know if it's because they don't trust him with the playbook yet, but I did not see much out of Harrell to inspire belief. I think Mac Brown may be calling it quits after this year.
You're right about that, actually. This is, again, I don't want to bring the vibes down, but feel remissive if we didn't mention it.
Well, they've been great.
Mike Somich is a huge hockey fan. So I do. Johnny Gaudreau and his younger brother Matthew, were both killed last night. Drunk driver. They were riding their bikes. Brutal, just horrific story. And I remember him, Johnny Gaudreau, because he was a Jersey legend. He was called Johnny Hockey. He went to Boston College. He's one of the best players, obviously. And then he was a star. You can maybe help me with this, but I believe made a ton of all-star games with the Flames and then signed a huge deal a couple of years ago with Columbus Blue Jackets and just an unspeakable loss.
Yeah, just an absolute tragedy to lose both the Gaudreau brothers. They were actually there for her sister's wedding, which they were both going to be best men in this weekend, too, just to add more to the blow. Just don't drink and drive, people. Like, the driver talked about it, how he was aggressive driving around someone because he thought he was slowing them down when he was really waiting for the bikers. It just doesn't make any sense to drink and drive. Don't do it. Tragedies happen when you do. And this is just a huge loss from a community perspective, too. I mean, everyone talking about Johnny Gaudreau today, all the stories that came out about what a good human being he was, what a good person he was, on top of being a phenomenal hockey player. I mean, he was Johnny Hockey for a while. He was a phenomenal at Boston College, went up to the Flames, was drafted up there, rejuvenated that franchise. Like you said, just signed a huge deal a couple years ago to head down to Columbus. And it's two men's lives who ended way too short and didn't need to. It's just a really unfortunate situation.
There are certain stories you read where you can't even like conceptualize or comprehend. And you think of a 31-year-old and a 29-year-old and what those families are dealing with, and it certainly adds perspective. Go ahead, big guy.
Yeah, a hockey player didn't die. Someone's friend, someone's brother, someone's family member died. I think sometimes we get so caught up in, well, he's a hockey player and he was famous.
Good
and
point.
We knew him. Like, he was a human being that had an impact on other people's lives, and he's dead because some idiot decided to get behind the wheel after drinking in a world where it's so easy to avoid that.
Rideshare people, if we can leave Sharp Money with one message, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart as somebody that has been affected by this, it is so simple to grab a ride, and they are cheap. So do us a favor, rideshare. Okay, fellas, I apologize for doing that, but certainly our thoughts and prayers with the family. Cam Rising. So Kuthi and Rising, 5 touchdown passes. Utah, we are fascinated. Dustin and I were talking, and Dustin, you may still have the number. So Utah goes to Boulder, and just the dichotomy between Whittingham and Sanders with how those teams are coached and how they play, I am fascinated to watch that game. And I'm not an anti-Deion guy per se, Samich. I just think Utah is going to be so much more professional and buttoned up and put a beat down on a relatively loose Colorado team. Now, it's later in the year, but I just wanted to bring that up because Utah rolled last night.
Yeah, Utah looked great. It's interesting to see them transition over to the Big 12 here and what they're going to look like there. You think of those Pac-12 teams as, you know, these loose teams that have no defense, throwing the football all over the place. Utah is the exact opposite of that. Enters a Pac-12 or a Big 12 where they should be able to wreak some havoc there just with the physicality that they bring and their size that they bring. And then they're going to have all these games at home, teams that aren't used to going to altitude. They're going to go have to play at altitude in Utah as well. So I think it sets up as a very interesting story for them. Like if Rising able to win that Big 12, able to make the playoff, I think you could make a legitimate case for him as someone who has to be at least considered in that Heisman Trophy race. And yeah, the Utah-Colorado game is going to be fascinating because Utah is going to try and do exactly what Oregon did last year when they went up there, which was take the game personally and win the trenches and just beat up on a Colorado team. And you know, Whittingham is like nothing more than to be able to do that.
Well put. Now, what is the effect? It's 9.5 Utah, 9.5 later in the year on the road in Boulder at Colorado. So what is the Dion effect? And here's your simple answer. Colorado's win over North Dakota State, an FCS program, peaked last night at $5.6 million. That's ESPN's best Thursday opener in 7 years and up close to 50% over last season's opener. So that's the just to contextualize it all, that is the impact. Hey, Samo, we were talking quickly about Ayuk. Ayuk, it worked. Ayuk got paid. He got paid like a wide receiver one. So he used his leverage. And San Francisco's that win now. They have to. And Dustin brought up a great point with Debo oft injured, Kittle oft injured, and certainly McCaffrey. They needed Ayuk. And that number went 3.5. A couple shops went to 4 on that Monday night with the Jets coming to town. Just an overview on Ayuk and potentially that Monday night game?
I think it was a phenomenal move by San Francisco. It felt like they had to sign Ayuk here. You mentioned, you know, they've got all these other stars, but they're also all their aging stars. I mean, Debo, Kittle, all guys that are getting up there, McCaffrey as well, that have been injured in the past in their careers as well. Ayuk is the one mainstay where you got this younger wide receiver who's really coming up to the peak of his career. And if you want to have Brock Purdy there, and you're going to have to eventually pay Brock Purdy, having Ayuk as his number one throughout his career is a nice duo that you have set up there in San Francisco. This is very much like maybe the last year or two of the window in San Francisco before you have to completely overhaul this team because of what you do have from a contractual point with Purdy and the age standpoint on both the offensive and defensive sides. I think this is a monster season here for San Francisco, and that opening week game against the Jets is going to be fascinating to me. The Jets defense, I think top three in the NFL, they're going to be able to create havoc against an offensive line, which I think is going to struggle. We'll see what we get from Trent Williams. He's still not in camp, not signed. We'll see if he's playing or not in this game. The Jets were a bigger dog in this game. We see consistent money coming in on the Jets side here. The Ayuk news brought it up a little bit, but I think everyone kind of expected Ayuk to play in that game. We'll see if Williams does. I would expect he does, but how ready to go he's going to be, a completely different question there. For me, it was Jets or pass over a field goal. If it gets to a field goal, I'd start looking toward the Niners side, but it's a tough one to bet because I don't know what to expect from Aaron Rodgers either. It's why I haven't made it to the window yet.
You know what? You just brought up a great point. Now, I don't think he loses his job, but is there a coach with the way the roster is constructed in the contract situation, is there a coach under more pressure this year than Kyle Shanahan? I want you two to think about that. We'll come back with the answer and we'll get our bets in as well. Sharp Money, Samich is joining on a Friday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So I told you I have a friend in Gainesville. She's a Florida alum, but it's a long lineage. Her dad went there, her mom went there, her sister went there. They've had season tickets. So I said, can I get a vibe check on what's happening tomorrow at the Swamp with Miami coming to town? A little rivalry. She said the vibes are it's 3:30. Which is a perfect amount of time for the crowd to get rowdy enough at the tailgate and make the Swamp tough to deal with. I said, perfect. She said, this is just her talking, not me, people. She said, Gator fans were told to wear white, so look for that on TV. Gator fans were told to wear white, so I have a really cute white crop top and blue shorts, so I'll be cute. That's a vibe, too. I said, okay, I'm going to read this when we come back from commercial. And she said, I'm sure your audience would love to take their betting advice from my crop top vibes. I said, you underestimate our audience.
Yeah, can we get some picks?
I think Patrick might be driving to Gainesville as soon as the show's over.
I think somebody might be flying to Hermosa.
Post-game activities.
You feeling me, big guy? Sam Obam. Okay. The bubble's up, so I'm getting excited.
Oh, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. Because it's just like right now, I don't know what she's going to say next, but I'm excited about it. Let's go, boys. Let's get one. Tan Aaron Halterman, who has been just... How would you classify his participation on Sharp Money for 2 years, big guy?
He's part of the founding family. Like, look, it's you and I first, and then Samich is a bigger part than just a guest. And I would say Aaron Halterman's more than just a guest. Like, he's a part of the show. I mean, he's probably giving out more picks on the show than you, if we're being fair. Oh, he doesn't like the text. He looks a little angry.
Yeah, that's a salty
no,
face.
No.
Okay. Here is our guy, Aaron Halterman. His podcast is Dudes Who Bet Sports and RacingDudes.com for all the handicapping with a Sharp Money Family Play for Friday.
Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Let's try to round out the week with another victory here. A good start to the college football season last night. Did not go college football today, though. Kind of a weak slate. Didn't really like anything on the docket. But let's go to the diamond. Let's go back to a team we've been betting a lot. Baltimore Orioles minus a run and a half at plus 105 today as they go to Colorado to take on the Rockies. A huge game, really, for Baltimore. They've been in a slump. They really need to start winning. They've fallen behind the New York Yankees as far as the division race goes. So we'll see. They really need to win two of three or three of three here in Colorado. Austin Gomber is on the mound for Colorado. That means runs today for the Orioles. I wouldn't mind if you played a team total over for the Orioles either, because I think they're going to score. But I like the plus money price laying the run and a half a little bit more. That's why I went that way. Albert Suarez on the mound for the Orioles. You know what you're going to get out of him. If he just kind of does his job, does what he normally does, I really believe they're going to score enough runs to cover this pretty easily. So for my best bet of the day, I'm going to go a Baltimore Orioles minus a run and a half at plus 105.
Okay. And Samich, you actually mentioned that you did like the Halterman play.
I do like the Halterman play here. I tacked it a different way. I agree on the Gomber side, giving up an earned run in 15 straight starts. He was actually very good the first couple months of the year. He's been very bad the last 3 months or so. I took the team total, Baltimore, over 2.5 first five. It was minus 135 when I bet it. I saw at some places minus 142 when the show was starting. You could play over three, so three would be a push, and that one was minus 105 where I saw it. So Baltimore first half team total, I played over 2.5. I would be comfortable playing the three as well. I think they're going to put up some runs, especially early in this game. And the wind's blowing slightly out. Sunny day in Colorado, so great hitting conditions as well. And Patrick, I did do a little more research for you. Not sure if you know this. Closest airport to Gainesville, Orlando. And right now, on Delta, round trip ticket, only $358. Or you could throw her on Spirit, one stop, only $153 round trip.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, my friend in Gainesville checks in. She said, Miami might try to claim the U, but the University of Florida graduates have been brainwashed to think that they are the only actual college in the state. So hopefully swag plus Eagle will help the boys win. I don't know what she's talking about, but she's dialed in.
I always find it weird. What's the point of being in Florida if you're one of the landlocked cities like Orlando or Gainesville? Like, to me, it's so the whole point of the peninsula is to get some of the Atlantic or the Gulf.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just going to leave that alone for now. We'll go ahead and close that message out.
She's taking a little too seriously.
Yeah, well, it's just that's a post show conversation. Let's get to the bets. I know, Samo, you've got a bunch of baseball plays. You can find the best bets every single day over at VSiN.com from all the hosts across VSiN. And you have a bunch of baseball. Pick two.
Let's go with the Braves Phillies here. Let's lay the half of a run for the Phillies in the first five. You can get minus a half run plus 108 for the Phillies. Playing against Lopez here on the mound for the Braves, sitting with a 2.02 ERA. His expected ERA is double that, over four-run ERA there. Suarez on the mound for Philadelphia. Like the Phillies' offense more than what the Braves are currently throwing out there. So we'll take better pitcher, better offense, lay the half-run first five with the Phillies here, plus 108. And then I'm going to lay the first the half run with the Guardians as well. You got Lively on the hill taking on Falter for the Pirates. Again, better offense, better pitcher, and you can catch plus money right now, plus 107, laying the half run with the Guardians. So Phillies minus a half run, first five, plus 108. Guardians minus a half run, first five, plus 107.
All right, big guy, you're up.
All right, we're going to look at the Virginia Tech running back, Tootin. Anytime, first half, touchdown, plus 125. I didn't want to lay minus 180 in the full game. Taking on Vanderbilt, horrible run defense. Teams ran all over them a year ago. Fourth in yards per game in the country allowed. I really like him to find the end zone early. Scored 10 touchdowns in 13 games in a limited role a year ago. Let's also go TCU minus 9. We touched on Damian Martinez for the Miami Hurricanes, over 70 and a half rush yards. Also, here's a long list. Fresno State plus 21.5 at Michigan. I think the number's way too big with everything Fresno State has back. I'd also say Old Dominion plus 20 and a hook at your South Carolina Gamecocks.
South Carolina is terrible this year.
And this program 2 years ago went on the road to Blacksburg and won outright. I don't think they can win outright at South Carolina, but South Carolina has a lot to replace, and the O-line still stinks. The rest of the play is available, vsin.com/picks.
All right, big guy, good job. Dustin, always good in college football. I'm going to have some fun with that Temple-Oklahoma game. Temple doesn't score an offensive touchdown, plus 105. I like that. I'm on the opposite side. I'm going to take the 9 with Stanford. You can lay the 8 if you're with Dustin on TCU. And tonight, was there one more that I would say? You know what? I'm taking Western Michigan. I'm catching the 24 at Wisconsin. Samo, anything else from you?
I played LSU minus the 4. That game opened at 6. We saw some money come in on USC. It got down to 4 on Monday. I played it at 4, sitting at 4.5. If we see more USC money come in, I would be interested again at 4. Dr. Bob gave that one out. That's why we saw the move from 6 to 4 on the USC side. He took USC plus the 6. 4 is my buy number on LSU. So if you can get 4 again, I'd take LSU on Monday night at 4.
Okay. Wonderful. Great job, Mike. Appreciate you. But don't go anywhere. We have 2.5 minutes, and we're going to close some tabs, which is a fun way to end the program, big guy.
Should I open the text you sent me later? Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. Oklahoma laying Woodnet right now. That is a quote from Patrick Maher during the show, and God willing, I will join them this weekend. Mike, haircut looks phenomenal. What is the product you use in there?
Axe hair gel. Just a cheap little $8 thing of hair gel.
Axe, are you 12?
Well, you know what, though? A little bit of a flex to have that nice of lettuce and just use something from CVS. That is tremendous.
Yeah, I the great clips in CVS, baby. That's the hair care style here.
Both Patrick and I think Mike maybe too, said whoa during the show. Just want to give a shout out to Joey Lawrence for inventing whoa. First person I know I ever say it. I don't think people understand how big he was in the 90s. Also, some news broke during the show. We didn't get to touch on it, but One Tree Hill is going to have a sequel series that's launching. Just I'm excited for it. I don't know if you two are.
Is that going to be Tree Hill?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Hey. Let's see. 1905 on this day, Tigers Hall of Famer Ty Cobb made his major league debut. Also, happy birthday, Ted Williams, born on this day in 1918. The Chief Robert Parrish, Cameron Diaz, and my favorite born on this day, BB Rexha. Let's go, BB Rexha.
There you go. Anybody know Ty Cobb's nickname?
The Georgia Peach?
Nailed it.
Or the racist guy?
Quickly, 1 minute to go. I just want to throw out Elon Duke. Do either of you have a play? It's kind of random, but it's getting hit down a little bit, 22.5 with Duke laying it. And 48.5, 49 on the total. Either of you?
I don't, but I would lean on the under in Lehigh and Army. Lehigh can't throw the ball, and I think Army's just going to get out there running, and they're going to do their thing, but they're not going to run up the score on Lehigh, a historic program. I would lean under in that one.
Sama,
yeah, I looked at that Duke game. I considered Elon plus the 24 when that was out there. Now that it's lower, I'm going to pass on it. But it's dog or pass for me in the Elon Duke game.
Okay, Mike Somich, The Handle coming up on Saturday and Sunday, noon to 3 Eastern. Dustin Sweetelson, thank you very much. We had Big Ant Anthony Heron on the program. Thank you very much. Thomas Gable was tremendous as well. And, of course, the star, Mike Somich. We'll see you on Monday here on Sharp Money.